Heavenly Father, thank you for Nigel. Thank you for his ministry to us. We ask that we'll have listening ears and open hearts to hear what you have to say through him. Amen.
So last week, we really only scratched the surface and just did an introduction to this passage. We talked about a couple of things. We've named this series A Pattern for Fruitfulness because Peter's heart is that if we do these things, we will neither be barren, but we will be fruitful in our service and walk with Jesus. So we looked at 3 points last week, legacy. We recognize that this passage is a legacy passage because it says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And we learned that this letter is written 1 to 2 years before Peter dies. So, and hopefully you took home last week from the point of just pausing there and just thinking as to what my legacy will be. Peter's very intentional about what he wants his legacy to be, and we're going to unpack that this morning. But all of us need to have a pause moment where we think, what will people say when I am gone? And that's a very important thing. We learned that it talks about increasing fruitfulness, that through these things you may be partakers of divine nature. And the third thing we looked at last week was the principle of remembering. When Scripture says something 3 times, we need to take note. The Holy Spirit is trying to say something. And in this passage, in this chapter, we 3 times Peter stresses, I put you in remembrance, not to forget these things. And so we dived in and looked at the principle of remembrance that we find threaded right through Scripture. Okay? 3 times he mentions this thing, I will always remember. Now, we've just seen a video, a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be, but we've just seen a video 2 weeks now in a row to refresh our memory of this character, Peter. And I like to think that Peter is the most Aussie of all the disciples. Why do I say that? Well, he likes fishing. Aussies like fishing, don't they? He enjoys a barbecue with Jesus or breakfast with Jesus at the lake. He's a typical ocker Aussie because the Bible says that he curses and swears. Right? But the other thing, and probably the most profound thing about Peter that I think represents us as a nation, is this. It says these words, but Peter followed him at a distance. Despite all the census and all the information that we get that say that Australians have given up in traditional, formal membership of church, if you go to barbecues and you ask people, they still refer about the guy upstairs. It's just they've lost a picture, a clarity of who that is and what that is. Okay? And so Australia as a nation is very much like Peter at this particular moment, where they believe in God, but they're following at a great distance. Okay? So we've had this great introduction to this, so now let's look at what is it that Peter is so passionate about that we remember, okay? And we've just heard it in the verse, okay? For this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith goodness or virtue or character or integrity, okay? We're going to look at how faith for Peter was a light bulb moment, okay? We're going to come to that verse in a little while. But Peter here is painting a picture of faith being a journey of this plus this plus this plus this. Are you starting to get that sense? We're starting to get the sense of a blueprint here of what a fruitful life looks like, okay? And it begins with faith, and I'm going to unpack that a little bit in terms of what that looked like for me. But faith is an internal thing, so it begins internally and it ends in love, which is a external thing, okay? So add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge. Just going to pause there for a minute and go, hang on a minute, why didn't it go, in discipleship we go faith to knowledge straight away. Scripture says faith, virtue, So there's a place for knowledge. Let's tease that out a little bit, okay? To knowledge. And to knowledge, knowledge isn't for the sake of just, oh, I can quote Bible verses. It has a purpose or an intent. It is meant to not make us scribes and Pharisees, but it is so that we might have self-control or temperance. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. You're starting to get this. Okay, and so this is Peter's last testament, his last words to us. And you go, now we're going to look through the lens of Peter's life and go, is it possible that Peter experienced these things and that's why he leaves this pattern for us in the way? So as we look at Peter's life, as we saw in the video as well, Jesus calls Peter, Matthew 4. He sends him out, Matthew 10. He walks on water, Matthew 14. He declares, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, Matthew 16. And I've been kind. It's the beginning of that passage and then at the end. But if you actually examine it between when Peter says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, between the end of that statement and the beginning of the next, there's just four verses. Interesting. And so I think we learn from that a new Christian, that we need to give them slack, that they're going to have good days and bad days, and those bad days may follow very closely to those good days. It's very interesting. And then after Peter's like, he's blown it, he gets this from heaven. It says in the scripture, doesn't it? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my, right? And yet four verses later, Jesus is saying, I'm going to suffer. And Peter says, no, that's not going to happen. He goes from a heavenly kingdom revelation to a very earthly perception. And I think all of us can say that sometimes is us. Turn to your neighbour and say, ouch, he just talked about you. And then from that, he's up on the mountain with this transfiguration. And then we see Jesus saying to him, watch and pray. And then he cuts off a servant's ear. I'm going to look at that a little bit. And then he follows at a distance. And then he denies Jesus three times, as we just saw. Then he goes back to his fishing. And then he's restored. And then on the day of Pentecost, he stands up as a leader of the church. We see here a pattern of discipleship, of a man growing. Okay? Oh, I wish we had more time than we do. So why do you think in Peter's final exhortation he would choose faith? So why did Peter choose this? Well, by faith, Peter left his fishing to follow Jesus. By faith, he said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. By faith, stop playing up. By faith, it's jumped again. Okay, it's okay. So Peter's on a spiritual journey just like you and I are on a spiritual journey. And Simon Peter answers Jesus when Jesus asks him, who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. He has this light bulb moment where suddenly all of the information, all of the experiences, all of the knowledge of Jesus prior to that all comes together to this, dong. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. And on our journey to faith, all of us go through that. I can tell you where I made a public decision for Christ in the Wellington Town Hall at a Youth for Christ rally. But I can't skip the fact that there were many chapters that led up to that. And my brother's mother-in-law is my Sunday school teacher who remembers what I was like. And she was sowing seeds. And that's us, isn't it? There comes this place, okay, where we have this faith moment. And what is that? Scripture, Paul unpacks that. For us to have faith, it is The Holy Spirit is revealing who Jesus is, and we believe, and it's a gift from God, right? And it says in Scripture, it says, to him, in him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So as a 13-year-old, my faith journey was like this. I was at high school, I suddenly stopped swearing. And I have ever since. And that was probably the only documented evidence or fruit you could show of my salvation. It just didn't feel right anymore to swear. And even though in a high school environment where peer pressure is at its worst, what had happened? See, the Holy Spirit had come, caused faith to come into my heart. But this Holy Spirit within me, this Holy Spirit within me, it suddenly didn't feel right to do the things that I used to do. It was like my conscience had been ignited or illuminated, okay? And so in our faith journey, this is what happens. And I asked for that song, he walks with me and talks with me, a lifelong's narrow way. And during the week at a Bible study, we talked about this head and heart, remember? We talked about this concept of head and heart. And so can I live my Christian life with just going on my intuition of this new person that lives with me, the Holy Spirit? Is it sufficient for me just to, he walks with me and talk? That's part of it. But then for me to grow as a Christian, I need knowledge. Okay? And we mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need both. As we grow older as a Christian, let not our lives just be led through. Let it be spirit and, right? Those who worship and worship him in spirit and in truth, knowledge and spirit. As Christians, we have both. We need both. That's part of a mature Christian. So my swearing was gone. And he talks to me and walks to me. I never want to lose that. Oh, I'm going to throw in a curly one in here just to get you to think. It's not in my notes, but I'll throw it into you. We believe in the Great Commission, don't we? Go into all the world and make disciples. And then we read in the book of Acts, it says, and the Holy Spirit forbade them from going to a spirit and truth. The general truth was, go. But the Holy Spirit said, uh-uh. So we need both. He talks with me. So we need to add knowledge to our faith. Our faith cannot just be virtue, inspiration, Holy Spirit alone. We need both. And this is how we grow a balanced Christian life. Okay? I wonder why Peter put in there perseverance. Where would he have got that from? How was that part of his life? Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said, Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep and watch 1 hour? Why would Peter put perseverance there in his letter, his legacy? Had he experienced the call of Jesus to persevere? Oh, yes. See, this whole letter is through the lens of Peter's experience with Jesus that he leaves us these things. It's precious. It's beautiful. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Let's go back to virtue. Oh, it's done it again. Never mind. We'll just run with it. What about self-control? I wonder if Peter ever needed self-control. You like that cartoon? I love that cartoon. See the guy's ear? Can't listen with one ear very easily, can you? Wonder why Peter would put in there self-control. The need of self-control. He chopped up a servant's ear and probably afterwards he's done it again. Probably afterwards Peter's thinking, that probably wasn't great day in the office. Probably wasn't my proudest moment where Jesus is going to pat me on the head and go, yeah, you're doing good, buddy. You're doing good. And so Peter realizes that in his walk with Jesus, he needs perseverance. He needs knowledge. He needs self-control. Okay? And so I suggest to you that Peter's journey is very similar to every one of you here this morning. We're going to do better than this. This is just the first one. But I've put some of those events of Peter's life here on a graph. And we're going to say that somewhere in the middle here is zero. And we're going to map out Peter's life and realize that, yeah, Jesus comes and calls Peter. That's a pretty good day. Spiritually, that gets a tick, right? He walks on water. Well, that's a very good day, spiritually speaking, isn't it? And then he gets this revelation from heaven, you are the Christ, Son of the living. Wow, that's a really good day. But after that, it tumbles down a bit. He's called, Satan, get behind me. And then he's on a mountain, transfiguration. But then he's asked to watch and pray and he falls asleep. Okay. Does anyone feel like this is possibly their Christian journey? Ups and downs. And ups and downs. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, it's okay. Keep going. Okay, let's do it even better. Okay, watch the screen. Seeing it? Am I going too fast? I'm sorry it's a bit small. I tried to make it bigger down here, but it wouldn't all fit in. Okay? You watching the graph? And what's the end? Day of Pentecost. Restoration. Okay? Revival. Ooh, revival. Journey had a purpose. And now look at this. And look at this. And look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I suggest to you that churches and every individual Christian goes through these seasons. Okay? We all love the honeymoon, don't we? We all wish that the honeymoon would stay. I hear the stories of the honeymoon period in this church, and we all wish, let's just camp our tent there, right? And why did the honeymoon season end? Why did we go through periods of testing? Why do we go through periods of, you know, I don't say this derogatively at all, but the first Bible study I went to in this role, the subject of the Bible college is, how do we get out of a rut? We've all been there. But when you look at the big picture, what Jesus does with Peter when he's at his low point, and how he restores him and what he's preparing Peter for. This gives us hope, gives our church hope, it gives our own spiritual walk hope. Godly revelation. He went from godly revelation to being rebuked by Jesus. He goes from sleeper to speaker. He goes from denier to dying for Christ. He goes from walking on water to walking at a distance. He goes from a fisherman to a fisher of men, all in one life, right? Where in your journey are you? If you were to put that graph, your finger on that graph, where are you? And this is the ultimate punch in this message, is restoration comes from an encounter, whatever you've gone through. Some of you have got wives and husbands that are sick. Some of you are caring. Some of you got children. We have all got a story. The Christian walk is not without trials. Okay? We need to identify where we are. But how does Jesus pick Jesus up? Sorry, how does Jesus pick Peter up? It's a journey of love. True restoration is only found in Jesus' love. Let me say that again. True restoration is only found in a baptism of Jesus' love. And Peter says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And so I want you to just to give you a picture, so that it's in picture form, okay? Here am I. This is faith. This is where I come. This is where I'm born again. This is where I start my spiritual journey. And all of you, you can, where that starting point was, some at 11, some at 9, some as a teenager. And this is what it looks like. It's a step. Where's the destiny? Where's the destiny? What's the whole purpose of the journey? So that we are growing and growing through the trials, through the apathy, through all that we go and all that life throws at us. We are growing to become more and more like Jesus. We've gone from this place of inward faith to this place where we outwardly shine the love of Jesus. I've got a handout for some of you. We'll put it on the app as well. But I've got a handout. Where are they? Here they are. And if you want to come up after the message or after the service today and take one of those home, I encourage you to do so and write your journey on the piece of paper. The ups, the downs, the divorce, the sickness, everything that you've gone through, and start plotting it so that you can see visibly your spiritual journey. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, wherever we are, whether we are in the mountaintops of transfiguration, or whether because of peer pressure, our faith has gone cold and we're denying Jesus in our actions and in our words, wherever we are on this journey, Holy Spirit, breathe life. Envelop us with your love. Restore us as you restored Peter. Pick us up at whatever place we are at in our journey. May we hear your words of restoration of love. And Lord, may for this church and for our lives, revival and restoration be ahead of us, that our best days are in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.